Depression. I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear that word. For some, it will be a friend or loved one who has depression, so you've perhaps observed something of what it is secondhand. And maybe there will have been times where you've longed to help and support them through their depression, but struggled to know how best to do that. For some of us here this evening, it'll be first-hand experience that we have. We'll know the pain and despair of depression all too well, either from past experience or perhaps being in the midst of it right now. And then there'll be others of us here tonight who have questions that come to mind. What is depression? What makes it different from feeling sad or miserable? What causes it? What can be done about it? So I'm very aware that we'll all be approaching this topic from different angles and experiences. And I'm sure as a church family, there's much that we can share and learn from one another because of that. And yet, depression's not often spoken about, is it? Sadly, there's still a lot of stigma surrounding depression, and it can be a really difficult topic to open up about and to discuss. So, as the title of this first talk shows, depression needs our realism. So I'm hoping to just briefly address two questions. Firstly, what is depression? And then come on to why is it something that we should take seriously? They're big questions, and they're not easy to answer in a few minutes. So it will just be a short introduction, but the question and answer session after the service will be a really good opportunity to explore these questions and issues further. So do stay and come along to that if you can. So what is depression? Depression isn't actually one thing. It has many forms, and the general term depression covers a wide range of types and severity. So it's varied, and it's complex too. The reason why one person becomes depressed is different from why another does. There's no simple cause or explanation. What happens to us in our lives can be a trigger, so an unwelcome or traumatic event, becoming physically unwell, being made redundant, the end of a relationship, or a major life change, moving somewhere new or retiring. But it's not just about what happens to us, because people react to the same thing differently, and we know that some people are more prone to depression than others. So it's likely that depression is caused by a complex interaction between external factors and internal factors. And you might have heard theories that try to explain depression just in terms of one thing, the chemicals in our brain or the state of our childhood or perhaps the insufficiency of our faith. And I think we need to be wary of these explanations. It seems most helpful to have a holistic approach, to consider all its aspects, physical, psychological, relational, and spiritual. So the first thing is it's varied and complex. Okay, now I've got a question for you. When was the last time you heard someone say the words depressed or depressing? I know I've certainly heard lots of people during June say, oh, this weather is so depressing. And I've said that, I think, myself. And you might have heard someone say, oh, my job, or I'm really depressed about my job at the moment. And these words are often used in our everyday conversation when we really mean fed up or sad or miserable. So it's not surprising that we can begin to think that they're all one and the same thing. But depression is not feeling sad or miserable. It's much more than just emotion. And actually, a lot of people who are depressed say it's more like an emptiness or an absence of emotion. And it interferes with many areas of life. There's a cluster of symptoms associated with depression. I'll just quickly run through what they are. The two key symptoms are depressed mood and losing all interest and pleasure in things. And others include feelings of worthlessness or guilt, thinking negatively about things, and also losing all hope for the future. And that would fit into the sort of psychological part of our holistic model. But there are physical symptoms too, so they might be changes in appetite or body weight, disrupted sleep pattern, low energy levels, and poor concentration. And for someone to actually be given a diagnosis of depression, they'd need to experience at least 5 of the full list of symptoms nearly every day for at least 2 weeks. But it's not obviously as straightforward as that, and lots of other factors are taken into consideration. And diagnosing depression should only be done by someone that's qualified. Okay, so the two much briefer points under this question of what is depression. Depression is lonely. The sense of isolation and feeling cut off from other people in the world is one of its most crippling aspects. Depression affects our relationships, our ability to cope with social occasions, and it can make it hard to contribute in conversation. And this isn't just a relational aspect, it can be a spiritual one too, because God's presence can feel very distant and unreal, and we can feel completely alienated from him. And then fourthly, depression is a bewildering experience, and it's often really difficult to describe in just words. So metaphors and images have been used by many as a powerful way of conveying what it is. Winston Churchill famously called his depression the black dog. Others have likened it to being stuck alone in a deep, dark pit, being caught in a tunnel, or being lost in thick fog. And I just wanted to point out Matthew Johnston's books, one of which you'll see on the yellow insert, because they include brilliant graphical illustrations of what depression is. So we commend those books to you. Okay, so where have we got to? So far we've seen that depression is varied and complex. It's far more than, and in fact it's not the same as feeling sad. It's a lonely experience. And metaphors and images, as well as a holistic model, can help us to better understand it. So, our next question. Why should we take it seriously? And I just want to highlight three reasons for doing that. Firstly, it's common. So how common is it? Well, figures vary slightly, but it's widely accepted that one in every six adults will experience an episode of depression during their lifetime. The prevalence seems to be increasing, and the World Health Organization predicts that within 20 years, more people will be affected by depression than any other health problem, which seems staggering. Depression currently affects about 121 million people worldwide, and that's set to rise. But rather than us just focus on national and global levels, let's think about how it affects us closer to home. What do these statistics mean, for instance, for us as a church? Well, as a church family, I think we're about 2,000 to 2,500 people, so it means that at least 400 of us will have depression at some point in our lives. 400. And it's not that those 400 people will necessarily have less faith or be less spiritually mature than others, because as we highlighted earlier, depression is caused by a complex mix of many different reasons. So it's common. It's common in society and it's common in the church. And the second reason we need to take it seriously is that depression is debilitating. It can completely sap our physical, mental, and emotional strength, making normal day-to-day activities a huge challenge. And sometimes, anything other than staying in bed under the duvet can seem impossible. And it's potentially dangerous, too, for people with severe depression. When life is painful and unbearable, and depression makes someone feel that there's no hope of things ever getting better, then sometimes death can seem to offer the only hope of relief. So it's not uncommon for people with depression to have thoughts about harming themselves or ending their life. And this is obviously a very serious, very sensitive, very difficult area. And perhaps hard for us to understand if we've never had personal experience of depression. But I think it's really important that we don't ignore that aspect of depression. And if we're ever aware of any risk of self-harm or suicide in ourselves or in other people, then we really need to take it seriously and seek help. But the last and probably most important point is that there is much that can be of help to people with depression and to those supporting people with depression. And you'll see some of them highlighted on the yellow insert again. Psychological therapies, counselling, talking therapies as they're sometimes called, can be of great benefit, and antidepressant medication too. As I mentioned just now, the GP is always the best point of contact because they can consider and discuss the different options. But I think as Christians, I think we can sometimes be less likely to recognise or admit that we may have depression, because surely we should be full of the joy of Christ, and we can feel a real sense of shame in being so low, which can perhaps make us more reluctant to seek help. And this is where other people come in. As we share life and we live in community, rather than conforming to an increasingly individualistic society, we'll hopefully have people who we can be open with about our struggles and who can help to support us both practically and prayerfully. So, depression is a fact and that we all need to take seriously. Even if we never have depression ourselves personally, then some of our Christian brothers and sisters, some of our friends, family members, colleagues surely will. And with God's strength, we can share and carry one another's burdens. And we can be channels of His love and His hope and His presence. So we've briefly covered two questions. What is depression and why should we take it seriously? And some of these issues will come up again throughout the service, and I'm sure will come up at the question and answer session later. But now we're going to sing again. The next song reminds us that God is with us. Whether we're in the depths of depression and feeling utterly alone, or whether we're struggling to support someone who is depressed, He's with us. So let's stand and sing together.